Okay, we're continuing with chapter 2 of Hilchot Deot, chapter 2. And last week we were talking about two different traits that a person should try to keep to the extreme. Normally we said to the traits, a person should be in the middle of the traits. There are two traits that a person should try and stay on the extreme. And these two traits are pride. A person obviously should be the extreme of humility. And the most humble person around was Moshe Rabbeinu. Anav me'od mikol adam. He was very, the Torah stresses, he was very humble. He was very humble. So pride is one of the worst things a person can have, and therefore the opposite extreme is the best. Be very, very humble. And you'll find that a lot of different traits are dependent on pride. So anger is very connected with pride. And that's the other trait. So two traits a person is going to keep away from are pride and anger. So the Rambam says a person should teach themselves, shelo yichos, not to get angry, even on something which is fit to get angry on. And if a person wants to teach someone a lesson, and he gives two scenarios, one is a leader of a community, and the other one is a parent at home teaching children. He's allowed to show anger. So probably the hardest thing to do. Show anger without getting angry. It's very hard to do, to show anger. Suppose it's going to be a good actor. So a parent especially has got to be a very good actor to show anger without getting angry. You know,
why would you show it?
Show it to put some awe into the children. Uh-huh. You want the children to get some respect. So how do you... And good teachers are very good at that. They're very good at putting awe into the children without losing control. Because once you lose control, that's it. You've lost control of the class as well. They see you lose control, they take advantage. So it's very important not to lose that control, to show you're always in control, even of one's own feelings, right? Even of one's own feelings. A person loses control of their mind, they're completely deranged, in a sense. You see people, they lose their temper, and they're completely like lunatics. And that's the stage where a person is considered Oved Avodah Zarah, worshipping idols. A person should never get to the stage where they're totally out of control. And that's what the quotes right here. Amru Hahim, the rabbi said, whoever gets angry is like worshipping idols. So what does that mean? That means a person who's lost control completely, or their ego takes over completely to the point where they feel, I am the most powerful person around. There's nothing else more powerful. So even God is not as powerful as me. And that's a person who's in this stage of rage. He's enraged, totally enraged. Furthermore, they said, whoever gets angry, even if he's wise, he loses his wisdom. And if he's a prophet, his prophecy goes away. And we find that that's one of the Rambam says the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for hitting the rock was not because he hit the rock, it was because he lost his temper at the people. He lost his temper at the people. And he says, Shimu Nahamorim, listen to me, you rebellious ones. So that was the problem. The problem was he lost his temper, not that he disobeyed God's... he hit the rock instead of talking to the rock, but because he lost his temper. So we see how much a person can lose by losing their temper. A person lose a lot of their spirituality. They lose their prophecy. And if he's a prophet, they lose their wisdom. If they're wise, they can lose everything by losing temper. So in a fit of rage, a person can lose everything. And therefore, the rabbis commanded, and they said, keep away from temper. Keep away from temper until a person should get to the point where nothing bothers them. And so hard to get to that point. And nothing bothers you anymore. Nothing gets under your skin. And it's very hard to do. Very, very hard to do. A lot of people, things get under their skin and affects them, and they bear grudges against people because they're angry inside and they can't. So that's very, very important, to try and control the trait of anger to the point where nothing bothers them. How do you get to the point where nothing bothers you? That's...
Huh?
Yes, you see something wrong, fine. But if don't get angry to the point where you lose control, okay? But the question is, how do you control that? And the answer is by not letting it affect you even in a small way. So if you let it affect you in a small way, then it builds up. It's like a slippery slope. It starts affecting you in a small way, and you start thinking about it. And the more you think about it, the bigger it becomes. So we blow things up in our minds. Sometimes we can take a small event and blow it up into a big event. So that's what he's telling us is, make sure things that don't get out of proportion, and try and filter out even small things.
Could we just be hurt then? Sometimes when we get angry, someone does something and we're very hurt.
Yes.
Well, we respond with anger, but if we don't have any anger there...
So the answer is not to respond with anger, to respond with rational thought. Respond with rational thought. Rational thought, and that is, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, rebuke. Hochiach tochiach amitecha, you will definitely rebuke your amitecha, your friend, someone in who you're communicating with. Rebuke them. But don't put a sin on him. Don't rebuke him in a way which will make the person rebel. So it will make the matters worse. Don't rebuke them in a way that makes the matters worse. So it's very important how to rebuke. The art of rebuke. The Gemara says already 2,000 years ago, the art of rebuke was lost. We don't know how to rebuke. So it's important to stay calm. And later on, say, why do you do this to me? What have I done to you to deserve this? Why are you treating me like this? Why are you making fun of me? Why are you mocking me? You know, it's a very big issur to mock people. It's a very big prohibition in Jewish law to mock people and make fun of people. So why are you doing this to me? And maybe and take the person aside. It shouldn't be in public. It should be in private. And this way a person gets things off their chest in a very nice way, positive way. And that's the idea. The idea is not to bear grudges and bear things inside and get angry, but to take it out in a very positive way, a productive way.
That's very hard.
It's very hard. And that's why it's important. It's important to know this. It's very hard. Nothing in life which is good is easy. Nothing in life which is good is easy. The fum sara agra. The more trouble, the more reward in Jewish law. The more trouble, the more reward. So it's something we all have to work on. And that's something which to survive as a spouse. A person's got to learn this, how to do this. Not to get angry on the spur of the moment. Anger breeds more anger. So someone treats you with anger, someone shouts at you, start shouting back. It's a conflagration. How do you put out the fires? How do you put out the fires? And the answer is not bring it up at that spur of the moment. Keep quiet. My rabbi in Israel, he had a tremendous policy, amazing policy. He says, I don't talk to people when they're angry. He said, I can't talk to you right now. I can't shout at someone who doesn't want to talk to me. I want to shout at the guy and people are screaming at him. I can't talk to you right now. I got to go. What's your policy? My policy, I don't talk to people who are angry. So when you calm down, come back and I'll talk to you. I can't talk to people when they're angry. Very, very good policy. And this way, the person has no choice. They have to go down and cool down because the person won't talk to them. So it's a very, very important policy. I think that's a fantastic idea. Never talk to someone when they're angry. Right now you're angry. Come back when you're calm. I can't talk to you right now. And the truth is you can't. You can't have a sensible conversation with someone who's angry. Because they're not making sense. In the fit of anger, they're not logical anymore. So you cannot talk to someone who's not logical, and therefore the best thing to do is say, I can't talk to you right now, you're angry. Talk to me when you're calm. Come back when you're calm. So this way I'm not refusing to talk to them, I'm just refusing to talk to them when they're angry. This way the anger is going to be controlled. So he tells us the highest level is never to bear any grudges. Derech HaTzadikim, the way of the righteous. They get insulted and they don't return the compliment. So hard to do. If you get insulted, you want to return straight away. You know, in America, the best form of defense is attack.
Offense.
Attack. Offense. So you attack. That's the best form of defense. And Jewish law says, you're right. You're right. You want to attack? Right. But do it in a right way. How do you attack someone in the right way? Rebuke them privately. That's not really attack. That's more an educational moment. Use it as an educational moment. Everything that happens, we can use, especially with children. Everything a very smart educator can use these two children fighting. It's an educational moment. You can teach them how not to fight. One child is shouting the other, getting angry. You can teach them. Educational moment. At a very early age, you can teach them to control your temper. I learned at a very early age, when you lose your temper, you lost control, you lose, basically. You lose, because the other person is thinking rationally, and you're not thinking rationally. So when you're not thinking rationally, that's when people lose. That's why fear and anger are very, very dangerous for making irrational decisions. Go ahead.
I find a good way of handling my anger waiting a little bit, and then I go back to the person with my perception of what you
exactly.
said.
Exactly, very good.
Was
very good.
XYZ.
Excellent, excellent.
And then we can talk.
Yeah, you're right, 100%. And that's the point. The point is to go and have a private conversation, a logical conversation, rational conversation, not a mad, angry conversation, which doesn't produce anything positive. So it's very important to have a rational conversation. It's very important to take a step back. Take a step back and have a rational conversation. So it's very important. And that's, he said, look at this. Look at the praise that we heap on a person who, even though he's angered and people attack him, does not respond. So a person doesn't respond, it's a very, very high level. Very, very high level. And the Rambam says, this is what the Pasuk says, V'avav k'zed Hashem shvurato. Those who love God, they consider the category of those who love God. A person doesn't get angry, they love God, and they become like the sun in its strength. So they get the praise, like they're like the sun shining. Nothing can affect the sun shining, except for the moon. The eclipse. But the praise of these people is that they're Hashem compares it to the sun.
Amazing. But even God angers.
No, God doesn't anger, even though the Torah writes that God gets angry. Yes. It writes that God is angry. Rambam says it's all a metaphor. Just like God has no body and no shape, even though the Torah says He has a face and a finger and a back. He has no shapes and forms. So too, God doesn't have any human emotions. God has no human emotions. The Gemara says that, yes, they're all things for us to learn. These are all things for us to learn. Rambam says God does not have any characteristics because God is not human. God is way above that. God is just pure rational. According to Rambam, just pure rationality. Pure thought, whatever that means. I have no idea. No one knows what God is. We know more about what God isn't than what God is. What do we know? We know that God is not controlled by time. He's above time. God's name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Hayah, however, yeah, He was, He is, will be. God is unchanging. God is infinite. He's not bound by space or time or anything. So God has no shape, no form. These are all negatives. We don't know anything about God's positives. Moshe Rabbeinu gives us an inkling of these midot, but the truth is that God has no midot. These midot are for us to develop ourselves and copy. So He gives us a way to copy Him.
But what is Kel Rachum
Vachanun? I'm telling you.
We sing it on Yantif.
Okay, let me say again. Yeah. Also, let us repeat it again. Okay. Number one is God has no midot. God has no characteristics. Okay, that's number one. Number two is, so why does Moshe Rabbeinu say God has characteristics? And the answer is because He gives us a tool to be able to copy God. Because it's a mitzvah in the Torah to copy it, to walk in His ways. How do you walk in God's ways? What are God's ways? Moshe Rabbeinu says these are the ways we have to walk in. These are the ways to emulate. 13 attributes. We have to try and emulate these 13 attributes. Does God have these 13 attributes? No. But Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us a way to emulate God's attributes. God has no attributes. Moshe Rabbeinu is describing things for us to emulate, to get to this point. To be as godly as we can be in our state of affairs. But God has no, God is way above that. God has no traits and no, God is not human. God is not a human being. There's God male, female, it's all, there's no point to this question. Why? Because God is not a being. God is way above that. God is way above that. God is unknowing. God is everywhere, nowhere. We have no idea. The angels ask, we say in the Kedusha on Shabbat, where is His place to praise Him? Where is God's praise? By the way, this is Monday night's class, so I'm stepping on boundaries over here. So that's Monday night's class. We're doing a fantastic book, Eye to the Infinite. Eye on the Infinite, fantastic book, amazing, amazing. So these are questions we address on the Monday night. But Moshe Rabbeinu gives this mechanism by which we can emulate God. If we never had the 13 attributes, we wouldn't know what to do. So the 13 attributes are not describing God's attributes. They're for us to emulate. They're for us, Moshe Rabbeinu giving them to us to try and copy. So one of these attributes is Erech Apayim, slow to anger. That's what we're trying to attribute. One of the attributes we're trying to try to copy is slow to anger. And we have to try and be slow to anger, just like God is slow to anger. And He just absorbs, and doesn't get angry. Amazing. We have to try and emulate that as well. Just absorb without getting angry. The truth is, a person who has humility will say, okay, what's the big deal? Talk bad about me, so what? It's hard to do. It's a very high level, that's what we're saying. It's a very high level, the level of the tzaddikim. These are the level of the pious people. We're not expected to get to that level. The level we're expected to get to is not to get angry and try and control the situation and go to the person privately and say, why do you do this to me? You shouldn't do this to me. It's wrong. And if you want, someone else can talk to you as well. And people say, no, I don't want anyone else to talk to me. Don't get anyone else involved. Don't get the rabbi involved. Don't get other people involved. Usually the person will say, okay, I'll back off. I didn't realize it hurt you, so I'm sorry. Hopefully a normal person will say, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I'm hurting you. And that's the matter's over. Now we come to silence. That's what the Gemara, Mishnah says, Brikei Avot. Silence is golden. He says, silence is worth gold coins. Silence is golden. Le'olam yarbe adam shtika. A person should increase their silence. And today a person's silent, they think he's a fool. People think they're a fool. A person doesn't talk, he's a fool. No, wrong. A person doesn't talk, shouldn't talk. Ella obedavar chokma, unless there's something wise to talk about, or something which the person needs for their body. It's a basic need. They need to talk to do something for their natural needs. The person says, you know what, I need to go get something from the supermarket. Can you get me so-and-so for the supermarket? That's a required need. Or a person has some divrei Torah to say over, something wise to say. Otherwise, you don't have anything wise to say, don't say anything. So hard to do. So hard to control the tongue. And even then, Hashem made two guards for the tongue, the lips and the teeth, and yet it's so hard to control. The tongue is the hardest thing to control. So it's very important. All the laws we're going to see, Lashon Hara, Rambam brings that over here. So, controlling one's speech. So we talked about the worst bad traits of pride and anger. And the next thing Rambam goes into, which is talking too much, which is interesting. He's comparing it to these worst traits. So the worst traits are pride and anger, and then he talks about not talking too much, which is interesting. So it's inferred from here as well that one of the traits is silence. Silence is also a very good trait. Silence is a very good trait. Amru al Rav, Talmid Rabbi Nekodesh. It says the story about Rav. Rav was one of the great Rosh Hashivas in Babylon. He moved from Israel. He was the student of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the editor of the Mishnah, 100 CE. His student was Rav. And even though that wasn't his real name, they called him Rav. Actually, he was the main rabbi, Rav. They called him Rav. He got the title of Rav. And Rav, it says, never spoke a single conversation which is unnecessary in his whole life. That's a very high level. He never spoke a single unnecessary conversation in his life.
Can you imagine having him as your spouse?
Huh?
No.
Pardon?
Can you imagine having him as your spouse?
I don't know. I never had him as a spouse. I can never imagine.
Child.
So, usually people like to talk, so let them talk. But you don't have to do the talking. They want to talk, let them talk. So, you talk, as soon as, whatever's necessary, you talk. Sometimes it's necessary to talk. So, the question is, what does it mean to be necessary talk? So obviously you have to talk to your spouse. It's part of the necessary talk. Right? So I consider that necessary talk. But again, talking about what? That's the question. Things which are unnecessary, that's something else. You talk about necessary things. Okay. So interesting, he talks about speech. Speech is so critical. Speech is the difference between a human being and an animal. We have the ability to speak. We have the ability to communicate through our lips, through our mouths. So that is a tremendous benefit Hashem gave us, and we have to be very careful what we speak about. So silence is golden, as we say. So siyag lehochma shtika, the fence around wisdom is silence. And therefore a person should be very careful how they reply. So a person's reply should be short and to the point. And teach the students. Okay, so a person should teach the students in a short form as well. So this way they're not increasing, so the students will know what's the critical information. You know, sometimes you give a talk, and there's only the person who gives the talk, and there's only two lines in the talk which are very important. The rest is all fluff. So the students shouldn't come out with the fluff. That's what normally happens, is the rabbi gives a talk, and people remember the joke, but they remember what the rabbi talked about. So the fluff is remembered very easily, but the main points should be hammered home. The main point, what is the main point? What is he trying to get at? The main point is be hammered home. So that's a very important gift. A person's listening to a university lecture, and you take your notes, and then eventually you boil it down. You can see, it's only two real points the guy was trying to get across. So it's very important to have the gift to be able to boil things down and get to the main points. So what he's telling us, Rambam's telling us, is try and speak in a way where the main points are given over straight away, as opposed to just fluff, all the fluff. So cut the fluff and just get to the main points. Don't talk too much. So it's very hard to do. And that's a person who should teach his students in a short form, short way. The trouble is when it's too short, then the students don't understand either. Okay? So he says, if the person talks a lot and the topic is very short, he said, Harizei Sechlut, this is stupidity. And that's a comparative the Gemara says about a dream. A dream has a lot of different topics in it, but most of it is just garbage. 99% of a dream is garbage. Maybe a little 1% of the dream has a message in there for a person, but a lot of it is just wasted time. So siyag l'chokma shtika, a fence around wisdom is silence. Then a person's got to consider what they're talking about, what they're thinking about, the speech Everything that comes out shouldn't be everything a person thinks about should not come out. A person should think about what should I talk about, what should I say. So it's good for a person to have a little delay before you talk. A little delay and think, what should I say? How should I answer this? And so there should be a little delay and just to think, is this what I'm going to say? Is it allowed, not allowed? Is it positive or is it negative? A little bit of delay. Don't be too frequent to talk quickly and answer quickly. And this is what Shlomo Melech says, Divrei Chachamim Benachat Nishmaim. The words of the wise are listened to in peace, in pleasantness. Speak pleasantly. Try and speak pleasantly with people. Sometimes you've got to show a little bit of temper, otherwise people back off. So people want to take advantage of you. What are you going to do? You've got to back them off. How do you back them off? You talk to them harshly sometimes. But normally a person should speak in a pleasant manner. Less talk and more substance. Less speech and more substance. Okay, now we come to the next topic, we talked about anger, very bad trait. We talked about pride being very bad, the person should be humble. We talked about not speaking too much. The next topic he talks about is flattery. Flattery is forbidden in Jewish law, flattery.
Rabbi,
yes. Go ahead.
Just one point I need to mention with speech. There is a time that silence is not good, it's like you're agreeing.
Right.
So...
Right, exactly.
So yes. There are times that you have to speak up, and if you don't, you're considered...
100%.
You know,
I agree with you, 100%.
I'm sorry.
I agree with you, 100%. Sometimes you got to talk, and a person's going to know. That's what Shlomo Melech says. There's a time for this and a time for that. There's a time for everything. So a time to speak and a time to be silent.
So if you're always quiet...
In fact, there was a very interesting article in the Huffington Post by Rabbi Hecht. Rabbi Hecht from... where is he? In Toronto. Rabbi Hecht in Toronto. Very, very interesting. About exactly our topic. I was going to bring it in. I forgot to bring it in. About the medium path. And he says, even about the medium path, he says, there's a time for this and a time for that. Not always is it good to be in the medium. There's some things you have to be, so you have to talk and
outspoken.
So it's outspoken about. So it's important.
Do you know when the date the article was?
It was last week. It was in this last week. I think it was on Thursday.
Rabbi Hecht?
Yeah, Rabbi Hecht. Huffington Post.
H-E-F-T?
H-E-C-H-T.
Montreal
or Toronto? Toronto, I think.
I grew up with Benji Hecht.
Yeah.
Rabbi Binyamin.
Where is he? Where is he?
He was from
in Toronto.
In Toronto,
yeah.
He's from
very, very good article about exactly our topic. He actually quotes Aristotle, who starts off talking about the medium path and then the Rambam. And then he talks about Rav Soloveitchik, and he says, it's being Shlomo Melech, that sometimes there's a time for this and a time for that. There's even a time for not being on the middle path. When you have to, for example, he gives an example. Just after the Second World War, and the Nazis, they destroyed how many Jews? Millions of Jews. So a person says at the end of the Second World War, the Russians are saving the Jews from the Nazis, right? But a person at the end of the Second World War says, the Russians and the Nazis are both the same. He said there's a time to not to be so even-handed, even though they were the same. But here the Russians are saving Jews, so they're good at the moment. So there's a time to be, you know, even when you want to be even-handed, sometimes you can't be even-handed. There's a time not to be even-handed. So a very interesting article. Yeah, he was talking about that. I didn't want to mention it, but yes, that's what he was talking about. There's a time not to be even-handed, that's what he's saying. There's a time not to be moderate. Sometimes you've got to just make these decisions and say, this is bad and this is evil, real evil. You can't be even-handed all the time. That's what he's saying. So same thing applies to shtika. Sometimes it's good to be silent. For example, it says, an interesting halakha. The Jewish law says, if someone accuses you and says, you are a mamzer, and you keep quiet, it's like admission in a sense. They say, what are you talking about? I'm definitely not a mamzer. What are you talking about? So we're talking about an accusation that casting aspersions on a person's birth. So a person's going to stand up and say, you're wrong, I'm sorry, I object. So a person shouldn't be quiet in all situations. Okay, so flattery. He goes on to flattery. What is flattery? Flattery is telling someone they are something that they are not. Flattery is giving someone a wrong perspective of themselves. And flattery is used all the time. It's used all the time. Complimenting someone when they don't deserve the compliment. So that's considered flattery. That's called siftei halakot. What are halakot? How do you define halakot? Smooth tongues. What is a smooth tongue? A person who is silky smooth, flattery, and you're the greatest, you're fantastic. You want to be around those kind of people. Because the trouble is they want something. That's the trouble. When they flatter, they want something. Okay. So it's important, he says, not to be a flatterer. So what is a flatterer? A flatterer is trying to steal your mind. When you steal your mind, it gives you a false impression. Echad bepeh ve'echad belev. One in his heart and one in his speech. So he thinks something else, but really he's saying something else. So you're such a good guy, really, in his mind. He has a different perspective. He'll never tell you what's in his mind. He'll tell you something which you want to hear. And the mind is the total opposite of what he's saying. So a person should not be like that. A person should not be inside, not like the outside. El tocho kebaro. A person's inside and the outside should match. In other words, if you don't feel that, don't say it. Don't say something which contradicts the way you feel. Don't make the person feel like he's your friend when really you hate him. And that's one of the big things the rabbis say about the brothers of Yosef. The Torah says they couldn't speak to him good or bad. They wouldn't speak to him either good or bad. So the rabbis say, you see how great they were? They didn't pretend they were his friends. So when you pretend you're someone's friend and you really hate them, they can't take precautions. Yosef should have taken precautions. When his father said, go to your brothers, he should have said, Daddy, you don't know my brothers. They don't talk to me even. They don't like me. So why should I go to my brothers? It's dangerous. So he didn't take the warning. He didn't take the warning. They gave him warnings. So even from one's body language, a person can get a warning. A person should not lead a person astray and say, you know what, I like you so much, and really, they hate them. That's flattery, and that's what we're talking about. And that we said about Rabban Gamliel. We talked about Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel says, no one's allowed into the Beit HaMidrash unless the insides and the outside match. I don't know what test he had for that. I have no idea. But he stopped a lot of people from learning Torah at that time. It says when they deposed him, they brought Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, hundreds of people came and joined the Beit HaMidrash. So anyway, so it's interesting, this idea, the person should, the way they are inside should be the way they flaunt outside. So a lot of people today, they dress up and you think they're legit. And they have, you know, had a guy, very, very, very interesting experience. I'll never forget this experience. The person came, he was collecting money. That's already warning lights going off. Collecting money, had a very big, big hat, long beard, a big black coat. He claimed to be the chief rabbi of Singapore. That should already sing, that's already warning bells going off. Chief rabbi of Singapore, and he's collecting money. And happened to be on the street with him on Shabbat, and his pockets were full of cash. He's walking on Shabbat with his pockets full of cash. So he was swindling a lot of people. And really, I never saw him again. I don't know what happened to that guy. But chief rabbi of Singapore. Then you find out there's only one rabbi in Singapore. Actually, right now there's a few, because there's a few Chabadniks over there. But this was not a legitimate person. And he was taking money and giving brachot, which probably would be a big Kabbalist. Yeah, he looked like it. But he definitely wasn't. So that's what we're talking about. Being the inside and the outside should match. It's so hard to be inside and outside matching. So some people look kosher, but inside they're not kosher. And some people vice versa. On the other side, the person doesn't look kosher, but really is kosher. So that's why it's so hard. Adam roe be'enayim. A man looks by his eyes. But Hashem roe be'levav. God looks at the heart. So Hashem knows what's going on. We can't fool Hashem. A person can fool people, but we can't fool Hashem. So Hashem knows what's going on in our minds. So there's no point when you hate someone to say, I love you, you're such a nice person, really hate them. I knew a bank manager that he would make nice faces to his customers, and behind their backs he would go, I'm going to shecht him. So that's what some people are like. They're two-faced. You know the story, it says the guy's aunt comes to visit, and the kid goes to his aunt, he's looking at her very carefully, he says, what are you staring at? He said, aunt, he said, I'm looking for your other face. So what do you mean the other face? Daddy says you're two-faced. Yep. You got to watch out, right? Especially teaching children, right? So you got to watch what you say. So flattery is forbidden. It's a lie. Flattery is a lie. So it's called khalifa. If it's true, it's not flattery. You tell someone you're a nice person, but they're not a nice person. That's flattery. Flattery is telling a falsehood. Complimenting something which is true, no problem. That's not flattery. But if you compliment, but you don't want to compliment, just because you need something, that's flattery. That's a lie. You're setting up someone. That's a con artist. And we're going to see different examples. That's called Gneva Da. Gneva Da is robbing someone's mind. Would you like to come over to me for Friday night, for Kiddush? Come over to me for lunch, for dinner. You know the guy never goes anywhere. So why are you telling them? You're telling them because you want to earn points. That's forbidden in Jewish law. Because that's just a lie. You don't really want them to come. You're just telling them to, so that they feel good and they feel like they owe you a favor. He always invites me. He's always inviting me. Oh, such a nice person. But really, it's not true. He's only inviting you because he knows you're not going to come. Because he wants to earn points. So that's not allowed in Jewish law. So it's a very interesting statement, which is very common, is no flattery. So people like to earn points with their employers. It's very hard. You work for an employer. And you go and you want to butter them up. It's called buttering someone up. So when you go butter them up, it's not allowed in Jewish law unless it's true. If it's true, it's true. If it's not true, it's better not to say it. So otherwise, it's called echad bepeh v'echad b'lev. A person's thinking one thing and saying something else. A person's insides and outsides should match. They shouldn't say something they don't mean. However, you're allowed to say something slightly for darkei shalom. For the ways of peace, you're allowed to bend a little bit the truth. For the ways of peace. So someone, you know, and this is a very interesting statement in the Gemara. The Gemara says, big debate between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. If you see a kala who's very ugly, are you allowed to say she's beautiful? Are you allowed to tell the groom, your wife is, she's gorgeous. Kala na'a v'chasuda, she's gorgeous and she's pious. And she's not. Are you allowed to say it or not?
Yes.
So Beit Hillel says yes, and Shammai says no. Beit Shammai says no. Beit Shammai says, well, yes, it's a lie. Torah says explicitly, lo tishakaru, you're not allowed to tell lies. How can you, Beit Hillel, tell someone to tell lies? Beit Hillel says, it's common sense. If someone buys something in the store, you're going to tell them you bought garbage. You're going to ruin their whole frame of mind. You're going to ruin their the way they're thinking. So obviously, you're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to lie because that person married that person.
Exactly. In other words, in that person's mind,
she's beautiful.
Hopefully. So it's interesting that there is a little bit of leeway over there. That's not considered flattery. That is called Darkei Shalom. So for the sake of peace, you're allowed to bend the truth a little bit for the sake of peace. Trouble is we rationalize and we bend it too much. That's the problem. You know, the story of the person, he was speeding down the highway at 10 o'clock at night. And the cop stops and he says, tell me, he says, why are you speeding? He said, I'm late. So we're late for? He said, I'm late for a lecture. He says, whose lecture are you late for? He says, my wife when I get home. He's late for a lecture. So a person's not allowed to cheat people. So even though, so whether Jew or Gentile, there's no difference. Not allowed to cheat. For example, he gives an interesting example. A Gentile goes to the kosher butchers and say, I want kosher meat. And the butcher's thinking to himself, why does he need kosher meat? He's not Jewish. Why does he need kosher meat? I'll sell him non-kosher meat. Not allowed. He's not allowed to trick someone. The guy asks for kosher meat, you sell him kosher meat. Not allowed to trick him. So a very interesting idea. We're not allowed to trick people. Not allowed to lie to people. Not allowed to make them think something is true when it's not true. So it's interesting. So say this is a very strange case, but it's just an exaggeration for just to teach us. The Rambam says, the person says, you know what? I want to buy leather from a slaughtered animal to make my shoes. A kosher slaughtered animal. I want to buy leather which is from a shechted animal. The guy says, what difference does it make? Leather's kosher, not kosher. What difference does it make? There's no halakha that says you need a kosher animal to make shoes for. You can buy hash puppies, there's no problem. Jewish law, there's no problem. You can have benefit from non kosher. So what difference does it make? So I'll say it's kosher. Okay, it's a kosher animal's, it was shechted skin. No, not allowed to. If the person says, I want this, and you say, I'm going to give it to you, you have to give exactly what you promise. You cannot say, what difference does it make? Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'll give him anything. It doesn't make a difference. No, he asked for it and you're giving it to him. You have to be truthful. And don't give someone presents when you know they don't accept presents. So again, you're trying to flatter them. Here, have this. He says, I don't take presents. Oh, here's another present for you. He says, no, I don't take presents. Here's another present for you. No, why? Because that's also flattering in a sense. That's also stealing his mind. Even one word of flattery. And robbery of a person's mind is forbidden. A person should speak the truth and with a pure heart, and Hashem will reward that person. So it's interesting how we're going into these small little esoteric little topics. These are very small fine points in a person's character traits. So we talked about major points, about anger, major points. We talked about ego, very major points. We talked about speech, major points. Now we're talking about the fine points over here. The Rambam tells us that building character is not just the big building blocks, but also the small building blocks people are going to worry about. So the flattery and the telling lies and robbing people's minds, intentions. Now we come to laughter, which is very common today. This is very comedy clubs. Is a Jew allowed to go to a comedy club? I don't know. Are you allowed to go to comedy? I went once, I was a very naive young rabbi. Had a guy in my shul who has started doing stand-up comedy. And I'm a young rabbi trying to do outreach over here. So I said, I'll tell him, I'm going to go and see him one day. So I told the guy, he already came to shul. So I said, maybe if I go to the comedy club, maybe he'll come to shul. So I go one day, like an idiot, really. I go to the comedy club. I had no idea what a comedy club is. I was just very naive at that time. Young rabbi, 25 years old in Vancouver. So go to a comedy club. So he hears that I'm there. That night he does not perform. Does not perform that night. Okay, so I don't blame him. Okay. So anyways, so is a Jew allowed to go to the comedy club? So he tells us, this is Halakha 7. We're in Halakha 7, chapter 2. A person should not be too much full of laughter. And a person should not be depressed. We have a balance over here. It's the two extremes. Laughing all the time and too depressed. The person should obviously find the medium path. The person should be happy, but in a quiet sort of way. With a smile on their face. But not ha 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 ha. Laughing at everything. You know, for some people, nothing's sacred. They make jokes about everything. And that person will never be a Yirei Shamayim. Everything's a joke. So Moshe Rabbeinu, another joke about Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone's a joker. Everyone's a joke. Make a joke about the Torah, make a joke about Moshe, make a joke about everything. Nothing is sacred. And that's the danger of too much laughter, is nothing is sacred. God is not a joke. Everything's a joke. That person will never get to anything. They'll never get to anything spiritual. Why? Because everything's a joke. So it's very important not to be in the extreme of a joker. Not to be too much of a joker. Everything becomes funny. And that's what the rabbis tell us. Chok v'kalot rosh. That too much laughter, too much lightheadedness bring a person to immorality. And that's exactly what a comedy club does. Too much laughter, too much jokes brings a person to lewdness and immorality and eventually. So a person should not be bursting out with laughter all the time. And a person should not be sad and depressed. It's so hard to be in the center.
But his center is Sameach.
Sameach, yes. Sameach, quiet, simcha. Sever panim yafod. A smile on the face. So hard to get to that point where you're balanced. The person's balanced, not too much laughter. Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, and everything's a joke. On the other side, a grim face, and very sullen and very somber and very sad. The person's going to try and get into the middle. Okay. That was easy, right? That was very easy, right? Very short and very hard to do. Again, find the balance of simcha. Be joyous inside, internally. Internal laugh, internal joy. It's so hard to be internally in joy. Sometimes we need the laughter to be able to get to that internal joy. So a person's going to know. Sometimes you've got to go to the extreme to get back to the middle ground we talked about. Now he talks about desire. A person should not be, the Mishnah says, not be like the students of Bilam. What were the three traits of the students of Bilam? Who can remember? Ayin ra'ah, an evil eye. What is an evil eye? It's the eye of jealousy. Everything Bilam saw, I want. Why does that person have it? I want it. Why does that person not fair? Why does that guy have it? That's the evil eye. Evil eye is always looking down at other people and saying, why do they have it? Why? Hashem should not give it to them. You should give it to me. In the case, it's a kind of judgment. You're judging other people. They don't deserve it. That guy doesn't deserve it. Give it to me. Ayin ra'ah. Ruach rechava. His soul was big. Desirous. I want everything. Wait, what does he tell the king? He tells Balak, Imitelli Balak male beto kesef zahav. He said, I can't do anything. Even if you give me the house full of silver and gold, I can't do anything unless God tells me. Seems very good. Even if he gives him silver and gold, but it just shows how much he wanted. He wanted a house full of silver and gold. That's what he wanted. So you see over there how much his desire was. He had endless desire. Bilam had endless desire. So we learn from there, a person should not be like Bilam. And he had tremendous pride. Three major things, Ayin Ra'ah. And his soul was very high and haughty and desirous. Three things that Bilam had. We should be like the students of Avraham Avinu. It's the three opposite traits. Three opposite traits of Bilam. So that's what Rambam tells us over here. A person should not be a person who is desirous of wealth. Tremendous wealth. It's interesting. You see that woman who won the lottery. $750 million, right? Simple kind of woman. She worked in a hospital. Very simple woman. She didn't know what to do. I mean, she said, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to sleep. I just need my privacy. It's just too much for her. The very simple woman wants this, so much money. What's she going to do with it? I don't know. But it's okay. So good luck to her. But some people desire. We want to run. There's a limit to how much a person can live. How well can a person live? How many houses can you live in? How many cars can you drive? How many islands can you dwell on? You know, these guys with big houses, mansions, 40 rooms, 50 rooms, 100 rooms. How many rooms can you live in? Can you imagine how many mezuzot? Mansion, 100.
Dusting.
Oh, forget about it. You lock them up. So I should go inside. Don't dirty them. So it's hard to imagine. People want so much. Live simply. It's called a simple life. Live simply. It's the best way. So a person should limit their desires. A person should not have this spirit of wanting. Nivhal lahon, running after treasures. On the other hand, a person should not do nothing. So a person should, yes, have striving, should go to work, but not, because otherwise idleness leads to other things, to mischief. So a person should go to work, should be busy, but not to the point where they're trying to get to tremendous wealth, and struggling to get wealthier and wealthier. So very interesting, again, to find the medium ground. So, and that's what he talks about. Baal ayin tova, a good eye, should lessen their business and increase their Torah study. That's a good eye. A good eye, even on oneself. It's interesting, a person can have an mean eye even on their own property. So, you know what? It's not enough. I don't have enough. So that's mean. That's a mean eye on one's own property. Person to look at their property and say, you know, I have enough. That's a good eye. Good eye on one's property. It's amazing. It's an interesting concept. Just like we have bad eyes on other people, we can have bad eyes on ourselves. Basically, you know what? My car is old. I need a new car. It's already a bad eye on the car. I need a nice car. I need a better car. I need a better house. So his eyes are bad on his own property. So a person should lessen their physical endeavors and increase their spiritual endeavors. That's a very high level. And whatever the physical they should do it with a good spirit. Okay, very good. Okay. Again, this is a one line. These are one line affairs which are very deep and very hard, and these are a lifetime of effort. What is the medium path in life? How much do I have to work? So today it's hard to get a job which is not 8 hours a day. It's like, how do you get a part-time work? You know, that's why I became a rabbi. It's impossible. It's interesting. I was working in a bank. I'll tell you a true story. I was working in a bank, and my non-Jewish friend next to me, he says, "You should be a rabbi." I said, "Why?" He says, "You stop. You go pray. You go come back. You say a Birkat HaMazon. You go back and pray." He says, "What are you doing here?" Okay. So from his mouth, that's where I got God's ears. That's what happened to me. So it's interesting that that's a path. Your person wants to find a path to study, and it's interesting. It's interesting. So a person should lessen their business and do more spiritual business. And then he tells us, a person should not be a person who's a fighter, getting always involved in machloket. Baal kitata, it's called. A person should not be someone who's always involved in fighting with others. You know, some people are always fighting someone. Always fighting, always busy, quarreling with this one, quarreling with that one. The person should try and keep away from that. That's a bad sign of their character traits. They're a bad character that was involved with someone. Lo baal kina, a person should not be a person who's jealous. Lo baal tava, not be a person who's always desirous of things. And a person should not be running after honor. So these are three things Pirkei Avot says. Three things remove a person from this world. A kina, tava, vikavot. Kina is jealousy. A person who's jealous will never have a night where they sleep well. If you sleep well, it's a good sign. It means your conscience is clear, you're not jealous, you're not desirous. It's a good sign. It's very hard. A lot of people can't sleep at night. Why? Because that guy, my neighbor, just bought a house. He's got to fixing up the kitchen. We need to fix up our kitchen. How am I going to pay for this? He's going to keep them up at night. Kina. Jealousy. He just bought a new car. I need to buy a new car. Keep up with the Joneses. We need to keep up. There's jealousy. So it's the jealousy will not get a person sleep. Tava, desire, terrible things. People desire this, desire that, eventually become drug addicts and they drop out, that's it. They can't control themselves, completely can't control themselves. And kavod, honor. What can you give a rich man? Only thing you can give them is more honor. And also all they want is honor, because they have everything else. And honor is the most intangible thing. Think about it. What is honor? Honor is someone says hi to you. Honor. So, does it make a difference if you said hi to you or not? No. But it affects the person internally. It affects the ego. So honor is something which is... a person who loves honor never gets enough honor. Never gets enough honor. So a person's honor seeking will never be satisfied. Like the classic case was Haman, right? He had everything. One Jew would not bow down to him. Whatever I have is worth nothing. Just one Jew not bow down to him. Can you imagine how much honor he wanted, desires of honor. So three things remove a person from this world. Yes?
What power?
I would say power and honor are similar. So power is, why do they want power? Because they want the honor associated with the power. They want the honor guard, and they want the prestige, and the airplane, and the prestige, and they want people to be respectful of them. That's honor. That's power. That's honor. So, we can't even understand what kind of honor there is in the world. Because even the dictators today don't have the same honor as some kings did in those days. Those kings had the power, life and death. There's a big question mark if you can say the bracha on a king, on the president. And most people say, no, you can't say a bracha on the king, on the president. You know, there's a bracha on the king. Person sees a king, Shinatan mikvodo lebasar v'dam. Hashem gave from his honor to human beings. So, can you say it on a president? And they say no. Why? Because the president's not in control. He has the Congress and he has Senate. But even the kings of Europe today, they're just puppets, basically. So can you say it on a king today? Is there a king today you can say it on? Maybe the king of Saudi Arabia. Oh boy. He's a real dictator, okay. So he has power of life and death in his mouth. He can just... Ironic, you can see on a person like that. What kind of bracha is that? God gave his honor to... Look what honor. Everywhere he flies, 10 jumbo jets flying with him. 100 limousines. Imagine. Hard to imagine. So these three traits to keep away from to the nth degree. Kina, ta'ava, v'kavod. Jealousy, desire, and honor. They remove a person from this world. They destroy a person's life. The general rule, again, we go back to this general rule, the golden mean. The general rule is to come back to the center. Every single trait, until all their traits are in the medium. So again, this is the general rule. He's repeating again, the general rule is this trait. So now we're going to talk about the opposite extremes. So if these things are bad, what about the opposite? We're going to talk about chapter 3, and we're going to continue with that next week. We're going to stop here, and we'll continue next week. Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Who's switching off the...